Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel."
The remaining few, most of the church is on camp, but it's good to see you all here. I was told by one of the elders there'd only be about 20 of us, and there's more than twice that, so it's good to see you all here. We are not preaching this morning on the series, The Attributes of God, because many people don't want to miss that, and therefore I'll be continuing The Attributes of God with the foreknowledge of God next week, God willing. For this morning, I'd like us to focus on two verses that were read just now by Elaine, verses 8 and 9. "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you? Where are you?'" Can we pray, please? Please help me to preach well and clearly and effectively this morning, Father. We know that it's the word we want to hear and certainly not the opinions of people. Father, please, may your word be a living and active power this morning for Christ's sake. Amen. I think that because of what happened on Monday night in Manchester, it would be wrong of me from the pulpit not to preach a sermon on this matter as we gather to worship. We've come to church, and we come week by week, to listen to God's word. We are here to hear the voice of God. Now, if there's one thing we need to hear from God at a time like this, surely it is on this terrible event that happened on Monday night. We need to be asking God to speak. Lord, what do you have to say on this matter? We can't just sweep it under the carpet and say, oh, that was way up north. We're down here in South London. What's it got to do with us in Cold Harbor? It's got a lot to do with us. And you know, if we can't talk about things like this in the house of God, where are we going to be able to sensibly talk about what happened? So today, I would like to preach a sermon, a special sermon, in response to the Manchester bombing on Monday night. You know, one of the things that I've heard again and again from people on the internet and on the radio since Monday is this. Where was God when this terrible thing happened? Where was God? I mean, many of those victims were young, innocent teenagers, some of them children. And some of them died in horrific ways. If you've gone into some of the details, it's shocking. There are now so many broken families, so many broken hearts, and many of those who were injured by the blast, many of them children, are permanently disfigured and crippled for life. It's terrible. Now, where was God when this terrible thing happened? Where? I heard somebody say on the radio this week on this matter, this just proves to me that there's no God. I mean, if there really is a God up there, this person said, how could he have allowed this to happen? Maybe you feel in your heart this way this morning. Where is God? I mean, think about it. The God of the Bible, we are told, is a God of perfect love and almighty power. He's all-powerful and he's perfectly good. Now, if this is so, if God is good, then surely he does not want innocent children, or anybody for that matter, to suffer at the hands of evil people. Does he? He's good. And if God is all powerful, surely he's able to stop the deeds of wicked people. He's got power, hasn't he? And yet God did not stop the bomb from going off on Monday night and blowing innocent people up. Now, the question is, how can this be? The conclusion that many people come to is this. Maybe God's not so good. Maybe he doesn't care. Or maybe he does care, but maybe he's not very powerful. He couldn't stop this from happening. Or maybe this Christian God doesn't exist at all. This is a struggle that many people have about God in this world of evil. We call it in theology and philosophy the problem of evil. Where is God when evil men do terrible things? How can we believe in an almighty God, a God of love, at a time like this? Do any of you feel like that this morning? I used to really struggle with this. In fact, this was one of the problems I had with coming to the Christian faith years ago. I really struggled with the problem of a good God, supposedly good, in an evil world. How can this question be honestly and biblically answered? Well, today I'm going to share with you the biblical answer to the problem of evil. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about this evil world and why God is good and yet the world is evil. But let me just give you a precursor here. If you don't believe in God this morning, all respect to you, it's good to have you with us, but if you don't believe in God, I don't think my answer will satisfy you. In fact, if you're an atheist this morning and you honestly don't believe, I respect your belief that there's no God. But quite honestly, I don't know what your problem is with the death in Manchester anyway. Think about this. If you believe in evolution, then what are you so shocked about when people kill people? Evolution says that it's all about survival. It's about the victims and the victors. It's about people, the stronger species, overcoming the weaker species, the survival of the fittest. That's the whole mechanism of evolution. Now, if you're an atheist, you need to be consistent and honest here. What is so shocking about people dying, even being murdered, if you're an evolutionist? Evolution teaches it's all part of the process. Those who die have to die to make way for the stronger animals who will develop into stronger species as time goes on. You see, it's all about, if you're an atheist, competition, adaptation, and survival. So if you're an atheist this morning, I'm just a bit surprised that you're all outraged at a God you don't believe in, because death is just part of the whole process. You shouldn't be surprised. You'll just say, well, that's the way history is unfolding as we evolve. The weak must be destroyed. The strong must overcome. So if you're an atheist this morning, I'm not going to say much to you, and I honestly don't know what you're so upset about. Death is the whole mechanism. Killing is the mechanism of evolution. Think about it. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a believer, but you're troubled by what happened. I am. And maybe you're thinking, I believe in a good God, but I still have a problem with it. Why? Why does God allow it to happen? How can evil men do terrible things in a world created by a good and an all-powerful God? What is the answer? I've got a short answer and a long answer. My short answer is one word, the word privation. Now, if you don't know philosophy or theology, you'll wonder, what on earth is that? So I'm going to give you the long answer. Okay, why does evil thrive in a good God's world? Let me give you the long answer. Just supposing you and I were walking in the pitch dark on a freezing cold night. It's pitch dark and it's freezing cold. And I say to you, you know, I really don't believe in that sun. Because if there really was a sun up there that's supposed to be so light and hot, why is it so cold and dark? I don't believe in the sun. What would you tell me? If you were polite, you'd probably say, don't be ridiculous. The reason why it's so cold and dark is because we are not standing under the sun. Darkness and cold happen when the sun is not with us. You can't blame the sun for the darkness. You see, the philosophers say darkness is the privation of light. Do you get the gist of that? Now, please listen to me now. God, the God of the Bible, is a God of perfect love, perfect truth, perfect joy. God glows with the glory of love, truth, and joy. Where God is present. There is love, truth, and joy. Now, if God is so good, why is the world filled with hateful people? Why is there so much lying and deception in the world? Why are there miserable, unhappy people? Why? Does hatred, lies, and misery prove that there's no God? No, it doesn't. Listen to me now. What is hatred? Hatred is the absence of love. If you turn your back on love and walk out of love, you walk into hatred. What are lies? Lies are the rejection, the absence of truth. The more I deny the truth, the more I love the lie. What is misery? Misery is the absence of joy. Now, these things I refer to are called in philosophy privation. Just as darkness is the privation of light, evil is the privation of God. To walk away from love and truth and joy is to walk into hatred, lies, and misery. So why is there so much evil in this world? Is it, if God's so good, why is there so much evil? Why? Surely it's because people will not stand in subjection to God. Let Jesus tell you in his own words. These are the words of Christ explaining what I'm trying to tell you in my own silly way. These are the words of Christ. John chapter 3. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men prefer the darkness to the light, for their deeds are evil. Evil, please get this. Evil, the Bible tells us, is the result. The consequence of walking out of the glow of the being of God. You walk away from God and you walk into hatred. As you walk out of light, you walk into darkness. You walk away from the truth and you walk into the lie. You walk out of joy and you walk into misery. Now, let's ask the question I asked at the beginning of my message. Where was God when that nutcase, to put it nicely, blew himself up in Manchester and killed so many people and injured so many people? Where was God? Well, let's go to our text now. Let's go to the reading. Here we have the record of the fall of Adam and Eve. We're told here how evil came into the world. And if you can read with illuminated eyes, you'll see this is not just a children's story. This is a profound message of the meaning of evil. Adam and Eve had been commanded not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The serpent tempts them. They eat of the fruit. Their eyes are opened and they recognize their nakedness and their shame and their guilt. Verse 8. They then hear the sound of God approaching. What do they do? Now this is vital. What do they do when they hear the sound of God? They run away. They hide from the Lord in the trees of the garden. What do? They run away from God. They hide from him. Now here, we have the very root of human sin. Remember, God made these people. Every good that they enjoy, every pleasure comes from God who made them. And yet here, They run out of the presence of God in their shame and their guilt. They run away from the presence of God. And now listen to verse 9. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you? Ayecha, where are you?" Now we need to realize something very important here. We haven't done the omnipresence of God yet in the attributes. We're going to get to it. But God is everywhere, isn't he? God knows everything. We need to understand when God says here, "Where are you, Adam?" He's not saying, "God, tell me your whereabouts. Let me know where you are because I can't find you." He's asking this question rhetorically. What he's saying is this, and it's important you get this. Adam, in his guilt, runs from God's presence, and God says, "Adam, where are you? Adam, do you realize where you have situated yourself? Do you realize what you're doing as you run from me? Where are you now?" Now listen to this. When it comes to the question of evil in this world, the question is not, "Where is God?" The question is always, "Where is Adam? Where is Adam?" You see, evil can only happen when people stand away from God. Just as you can't blame the sun for the darkness, you can't blame God for evil. Man, in his guilt and sin, has abandoned the God of love, truth, and joy. And the question we need to ask is not, "Where is God?" but, "Where is Adam?" All week, well, not the whole week, but every time I've looked up the subject, I found people making comments on the internet, and I even heard on the radio, people saying, "Where was God when that nutcase blew everybody up? Where was God?" You know, the question is not, "Where was God?" I suggest the question is, "Where was that fanatic?" Do you know where he was? He was outside the love of God, the joy of God, the truth of God. He was in the netherworld of darkness and hatred. He'd stepped out of the light of him who is truth. So if today you want to blame God for the evil that's in this world, might I suggest you also blame the snow? No, blame the sun for all the snow in Iceland. Because it's just as logical. You might as well blame the sun for not making it warm in Antarctica than blame God for the evil in this world. We need to ask, when it comes to evil, not "Where is God?" because God cannot commit evil. He is love itself. He's goodness itself. We need to ask, "Where is Adam?" Evil happens when men abandon God. So the question is, I'll say it one more time, not "Where is God?" "Where are you?" God asks the rebellious Adam. Now, I don't want to end my sermon on a negative note. I would like to tell you something absolutely amazing. We have in this church, in this book, we have the power to reverse the power of evil. We have the power given to us by the Spirit and the preaching of the Word to cause people to turn from the darkness and come back into the light. In this church, although the world thinks we are fools, we have the answer to the problem of evil. God can restore fallen man who's hiding in darkness and hatred and fear and misery. He can restore them back to himself that we may stand in the glow of love and truth. And in this church we have that hope. So let me close by asking, where was God on Monday night in Manchester? How can people believe in a God, you may be thinking, a God of love and truth and power, when things like this happen? Let me tell you a true story as I close. Some of you will know the name Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch woman who hid Jews in her attic for a number of years during the Second World War, and the Nazis caught her. And Corrie was sent with her sister to a concentration camp called Ravensbrück. And in that concentration camp, she saw such terrible cruelty. She saw people doing terrible things. Her own sister died, was murdered in front of her eyes. She suffered. And one night in that terrible place, Corrie ten Boom went to a quiet corner of her cell, got down on her knees and read her Bible. She had an old Bible stored away. And another prisoner walked up to her, a very angry woman, and said, "How can you believe in this God of yours when you see all this evil around you? How can you believe all this?" She said, "I'll never believe in a God after the things I've seen. How can you believe in God when you see so much evil?" And this was Corrie ten Boom's answer. She said, "When I am really cold, I realize how much I long for the warmth of a fire. When I am really hungry, I realize how precious food is. And when I look around at the evil in this place, I realize how desperately we lack God." She realized the more evil she thought, how beautiful God is. Because you know what? When you're in the darkness, you appreciate the light. Don't run further from God when you see evil. Realize that's the problem. Come to Him who is good and love and truth. Evil is not what happens that God just allows. Evil is that which takes place when people walk out of the presence of God. It's not a matter of where is God. Where was God on Monday night in Manchester? It's a question of where was Adam. And I'd like to close with that challenge right now. I don't know all of you, and I don't know your hearts, and I have no right to judge you, because I've got enough problem living with this man here who's got enough sin for a lifetime of coping. I can only ask you this in Christian love. Where are you? God is love. God is truth. Evil is the privation of that, the abandoning, the walking away from that. Don't blame God. Realize you need Him more than ever in these dark days. Let's pray. Oh, in Jesus' name, Father God, we do beg You. Just wake up this world to realize they have turned their back on the only hope there is. He who is love. He who is personified as love in the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray as a church that we will faithfully proclaim this truth. And that even if people come in ones and twos, oh, we don't mind, as long as people will come and turn from the darkness of this world. Father, we praise You that You've made a way for people like us to reverse the power of evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Is religion a good? This is the verdict, Jesus says. This is the verdict. This is the bottom line. Light has come into the world, but men prefer the darkness to the light because their deeds are evil. Don't blame God for man's rejection of Him. Let's praise God for the gospel. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You that You are able, by Your grace, through Your Son, to call us out of darkness into Your wonderful light. Thank You, Lord, that we can be restored to love and truth and joy. And we praise You for this gospel, especially as we look at the darkness of the world around us. Oh God, may we cling ever tighter to this truth as the world sinks deeper into darkness. And may we unashamedly proclaim Christ to all who will hear. In Jesus' name, amen.